Morning, Cornerstone. Would you rise to your feet? Let's sing this oldie, oldie, but I saw the light. Hopefully it's part of your story, too.
I wonder, so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along, worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw.
Looks like some of you guys are just waking up. That's all right, but I hope you're thinking about your story. Tonight, today, this morning, we're going to be talking about just what we're all about. And our story starts with seeing the light, with Jesus coming into our lives. And I hope he's changed your life. I hope he's part of your life. But I think he probably is if you're here. So welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome those who are here online. This day is kind of different. The service is hopefully going to be a little shorter than normal because we got a meeting, a family meeting, annual family meeting afterwards. We hope to start right at 10 o'clock. So we're going to see how well I can do with keeping to the time. But we also have an Oasis update. So Paul Menino, director of Oasis, is here. He's going to be sharing a little bit about what's going on there, which a lot of crazy stuff is going on at Oasis. And he's going to share a little bit about that. But we're going to sing another song that gets back to what we're really all about and why we're here in the first place. So let's sing to the King of Kings. In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. The Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, to reconcile the lost, to redeem
animal creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. That you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth alone shall not kneel and shall not fade. By his blood and in his name and in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Sing praise.
Spirit, he is three in one. God of glory, you are majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Oh, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Pray together. God, we bow before you this morning, remembering that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're here because of what you've done in us, what you've done for us, because you are good and because you are faithful. And so, God, take this time as we've gathered together. Some are with us online. God, we pray that you'll make much of this time. You have committed to build your church around the globe, and you're doing it. And we get to be part of it. So, God, I pray that we'd be blessed as we lift up your name together in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. We're going to let the kids, third grade and under, head downstairs to Children's Church. And you guys have a question of the day. Do you like candy corn? That's the question. Do you like candy corn? Say hello to somebody near you. I'm not going to point out who, but somebody in my family really likes the chocolate ones. It's okay. I guess there's a reason why they make them. I don't like them. But the pumpkins are good. I don't think we're going to talk about candy corn this morning. We're not going to talk about candy corn this morning. It's unrelated to anything, but that's okay. You guys were talking, and that's good. We're going to talk about priorities today. Yale University was one of the first colleges started in America, founded by Puritan pastors in the 1640s to train men, according to their website, to serve in the church and in civic life. That's what their website says. It was a religious school.
According to their website, it says, during Yale's first two centuries, Yale graduates influenced the spread of Christianity by serving as missionaries throughout the world. Does that sound like Yale to you? Not anymore. Yale University today is not anything like what it was in the beginning. They have drifted from their Christian roots. But that change did not happen all at once. It took time. It took a long time. It was a slow drift. Drift happens. Southwest Airlines had an outstanding reputation until last year with the scheduling nightmare. And now they're working tirelessly to recover their reputation that they lost. They neglected their infrastructure over an extended period of time, and it cost them dearly. My point is not to pick on Yale University, Southwest Airlines. There are examples, but there are countless examples. This is what happens. Universities, institutions, businesses, they drift, they change. And if you're not careful, if you're not intentional, they change in the wrong way. This happens with people too. This happens with churches. We change, we drift, and we've got to be intentional or we'll drift the wrong direction. Way back at the beginning of Cornerstone, 25-ish years ago, we put together a list of seven values to guide us, to guide what we do, what we don't do as a church. And I want to go through those seven values today. It's been a very long time since we walked through those values, but today is the day of our annual family meeting, so I thought it might be good to look at those things and see if we've drifted over the years. So I'm actually going to look for some feedback today. I want to do two things with each of these values. One, why is it important? And two, how can you see it here? So those of you who are new here, that's fine. We're not looking for how has this been a value 5 years ago or 8 years ago or 20 years ago. How is it now? What do you see? Do you see these things still here in our church, or maybe we have drifted? Hopefully we haven't, but I want to get some feedback from you. So first we're going to ask, why is it important according to the Bible? And then how are we doing? So I'm actually going to ask you, what do you see? Okay, got that? That's a heads up, shot across the bow. I'm going to ask for people to talk, and we're on a time limit, so try not to have too much dead space, okay? All right, first one, biblical truth. My clicker is not working. There we go. Biblical truth is our final authority. Biblical truth is our final authority. I'm going to share scriptures with each one of these. I'm going to put them on the screen because we're going all over the place in the Bible today. Why is this important? According to Peter, one of the gospel writers, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, the Bible is our anchor around here. It needs to be. It must be. Why do we make such a big deal of the Bible? It's the only book in existence that God wrote. That's what it says up here, right? Godly people wrote a lot of books, but God wrote this one. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is really important. More important than any other book. God used people to write it down, but the prophets of old were not writing their words, they were writing God's. That's a claim we have within the Bible. I think it's a good reason to take it seriously. But does that claim only apply to prophecy, or does it apply to everything else too? Second scripture I want to show you, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there it says, all scripture is God-breathed. Some of this is not new to some of you. Some of this, maybe it is. But this whole thing is a message from God. The whole thing, top to bottom, front to back, the whole thing. So we need to listen to everything here. And according to the passage up on the screen, the reason God gave it to us was to equip us for the work he wants us to do. The Bible teaches us, it corrects us, it rebukes us, it trains us. It's more than deep philosophical thoughts about God. That it's more than that. It's practical, shows how to live. how to work through conflict, how to handle money, how to handle relationships and worry. Teaches us through story, through sermon, through history, through poetry, through prophecy. And the point of it all is to equip us, to thoroughly equip us for every good work. Does that sound important to you? Does that sound important to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's authoritative. The biblical truth is our final authority because it came from God. It's authority. So the Bible's our anchor. This is so important. It keeps us grounded to truth. In a world where anything goes, like there's no truth grounding in our culture anymore, this is important. This holds a standard. This is what's true. The Bible's our authority. It comes from God, tells us what's right and wrong, and it disagrees with the culture sometimes. So for the how, do you see this one at Cornerstone? Can you see this at Cornerstone? How do you see it? Examples, what comes to your mind? Evidence that this is a value of us still. Yeah, we went through the whole Old Testament last year, right? Yeah, in sermons, we use it. If there's a Sunday we don't use this, you need to talk to us about it, like there's a problem. Any other examples? What else might come to your mind that this is an authority? Yeah, we open it up in small groups every week. We're in it. Yeah, we're not just like, this is my favorite verse, and that's what, but this one, nope. Yeah, it's the whole thing. You can pick and choose and say anything you want, but if you submit to the entire thing, you got to believe what he says. Good. All right, well, let's move on. Number two, authentic community is required for sustained spiritual growth. Now, if you're trying to fill in the blanks here, they're all in the back panel. Maybe you already figured that out. No, I'm not stupid. I did that on purpose, okay? Authentic community is required for sustained spiritual growth. We need each other, guys. We need each other. When the world and even our own hearts are pushing conflicting values from what we find here, we can be encouraged through each other because I'm in a different place as you are. And sometimes I'm drifting and sometimes you're drifting and we encourage each other. We just need each other to hold together, to stay true to what God has said. But community has always been a huge part of God's design. He did not design us to just be on our own by ourselves. That's not how he made it. And so I want to share from Acts chapter 2 how it was from the very beginning, first century AD, the early church, Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's the very beginning. Community was really, really important at the very beginning. And how do we see it in that passage? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. They were devoted to each other. They were committed to each other. They sold their stuff and gave it. Like, you need help? I've got something. I'm going to give it to you. Like, that's what they did. They were generous. They loved each other. God's power was among them. They praised God as a natural time, part of their time together. They were just praising God, and more people kept on coming. This is an attractive thing. So if you and I want to stay on track spiritually, keep growing as healthy followers of Jesus, we need community too. We can't do it by ourselves. I got ups and downs. You got ups and downs. We just need each other. So can you see this value here at Cornerstone? A couple nods. How do you see it? How do you see this value here? We like to break bread, right? We like to break bread or candy or cookies or whatever it might be. You guys do a good job making stuff that we like to eat. What else? Yeah, praying for each other. Home groups. Yeah, stuff that happens outside of home groups. Connecting with each other.
And depending on how long you've been here, you might have deeper connections and more connections than if you're new, right? That takes time. Community is really important, but it can't just be about us either, right? And that's a temptation sometimes. We have to remember those who are not yet here, those who are not yet followers of Jesus, and that's number three. Number three, people matter to God, therefore matter to us. So this is talking about people who are still far from God. They matter. They matter. Why is that important according to the Bible? I could take you a lot of different places, but I'm just going to take you to one today for time. 2 Corinthians 5. This one just kind of blows me away that God would do this. But this is what he did. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You think about this. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If Jesus has made a difference in your life, praise God for that. Praise God for that, but it doesn't end there. You're not a pond, you're a river. If Jesus brought healing to your relationship with God, then God has appointed you to be an agent of reconciliation. That's who you are. That's what God has declared. You can reject it, but that's what God has said, 2 Corinthians 5. He calls it the ministry of reconciliation. God makes his appeal through us that others can be reconciled to God through Jesus. Guys, this is crazy that God would do that. And it's not just the job of pastors, right? Do you believe that? That this isn't just for pastors? This is the job of anybody who's received forgiveness through Jesus. You and I are Christ's ambassadors. What matters to Jesus matters to us. And since people clearly matter to Jesus, they need to matter to us. So how do you see this one here? People matter to God, therefore matter to us. We're involved with the community. We're doing it. We're there. We want to know them. We want to meet them. We want to love them. What else? Oasis. Going to hear a little bit more about that. Yes, there's a lot of hours that go into that. Loving these kids who are not always lovely. Anything else? Yeah. Right. You're not just thinking about getting your job done, but hopefully you're thinking about what else does God have me here for? It's beyond just paying my bills. God, I'm an ambassador of Christ. Good. Good. All right. Let's keep going. Number four, serving others with a humble heart is our expression of gratitude to God. Serving others. Why is this important? Well, after Jesus saved us, he did something else. He put us into a body of people called the church. And he gave us jobs to do. Some of us are still trying to figure out what our job is, but he did give you a job. We're all different. We all have different jobs, but it all works together. And ironically, the kids downstairs are talking about that today. In the last few weeks, the kids have been talking about everything that we've been talking about accidentally. At least we didn't plan it. That's what they're talking about today. But we have different jobs. And I want to share from Ephesians 4 this passage. See if I can read it on the screen. It's bigger here, but I can see it back there. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Guys, these are just some powerful passages that are key passages for who we are and why we're here. The church. Who's the mastermind behind this thing we call the church? Is it me? I mean, I was here at the very beginning. Was I here at the very beginning? I wasn't here at the very beginning. God was here at the very beginning. I'm part of the journey. You're part of the journey.
Jesus is building his church. That's not mine, it's not yours, it's his, and we're his, and he's ours. But this passage reminds us that Jesus has called some in the church to be leaders, pastors, teachers. That's great, that's good. But they're not the ones God has assigned to do the work of ministry, according to verse 12. What's the job of the leaders? To prepare God's people for works of service. That's my main job. There's a couple other ones you'll find in Scripture, but that's a big one. To prepare God's people for works of service. That means everybody in the church has work to do. I know we're set up here now. You're sitting, I'm talking, right? But this isn't church. We are church. Just like Jake said, you go to work and we go to home group and we're together in the community. Like, this is not just a Sunday morning thing. Everybody's got work to do. And what's the goal? To build up the body, the church, so we all become spiritually mature, united together, experiencing the fullness of Christ. That's what it says. We all have a part in that. We all get to serve each other and be served by each other. Same way that all the parts of your physical body work together without you even thinking about it, we work together. Different skills, different parts, different passions, different abilities, they all come together to make the body of Christ. And when it's functioning as it's designed, it's beautiful. Really beautiful, because this is how God designed it. Your physical body works together. You don't even think about it. Your legs just walk you right on up in here, right? Your eyes tell you what's in front of you, protecting you from hurting yourself. Your organs are behind the scenes, processing food, creating energy, keeping you healthy. You got little tiny hairs on your body you don't even think about, some of you don't think about, that keep you warm. Fingernails protect your fingertips. You've got blood vessels transporting oxygen throughout your body. There are all these parts working together the way they should most of the time. When they stop, you go to the doctor. This is what Jesus is doing in his body called the church. This is how God's designed it. And because of that, we can't afford to isolate. We can't afford to try to do this on ourselves because it doesn't work that way. Take your finger off, put it aside. What's going to happen? It's going to turn black. It's going to wither up. It's going to be useless. We can't think as individuals. We got to think we, not me. And that's a challenge in our culture. We want to think me, but we are not complete on our own. We need each other. This is part of God's design. So can you see this value here? How do you see it? How is this happening? How is this a value at Cornerstone? Food supply. There you go. We can serve each other. You can share it with somebody else who needs it. You can have it if you need it. Kids can eat candy. What else? Oasis again. This is serving others, for sure. Christmas party, a Bible study at Saucony Cross. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all the people involved, the people who invest in our kids downstairs. There's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that make it happen. And there's needs that happen around that. Meals, like, you guys are great with, hey, here's a way to help. Here's somebody in need. Let's bless them. Let's help them. Call them. Reach out. Like, there's a lot of that going on. So in order for we to be healthy, me has to be healthy, right? Me and me have to be healthy for we to be healthy, right? It's a confusing way to say it, but I just did. That's value number five. Intimacy with God is the power source for personal transformation. This has to be something that you do. It can't be something that other people do for you. Intimacy with God. Why? What did Jesus say? John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we're going to talk about that more later in a couple weeks. I just want you to see this illustration. Jesus compares himself to a vine. We are branches of the vine. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now you imagine a coach saying that to his team. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A teacher saying that. How would you feel if a coach or a teacher said that to you? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, yeah? I mean, most of us would resist that. That's pretty arrogant. But this is Jesus. Jesus doesn't do arrogant. He does truth. This is true. As a Christian, Jesus is your very source of life. If I stopped eating food altogether, take about 24 hours maybe, and I start feeling weak. If I continued to not eat food for 7 more days, my son would see atrophy in my muscles, my barrel chest. That's kind of a joke at home. I would start to shrivel up if I went a few more weeks. It's not that funny, Mike. No, it is really. 3 more weeks, I'm in the hospital. A couple weeks after that, and I'm dead. That's what happens when I stop eating food. That's what happens. Jesus says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what Jesus is not saying here is you got to keep learning more stuff. You got to embrace the program. You got to embrace a set of values. We don't need to remain attached to a system. It's not what he's saying. We need to remain attached to a person. The person of Jesus. He is the vine. Not the Bible. Not the church, not a set of rules. The person of Jesus is the vine. And when we drift away from our personal intimacy with the person of Jesus, we are disconnected from our power source, and we will wither up spiritually. Some of you have felt that. You've experienced that. So intimacy with God. Can you see how this is a value here at Cornerstone? This might be a little harder to detect. It's a little more personal. But is this still a value here? A couple nods. How do we see this? Yeah. People have knowledge of God's word. We understand we need to know this to stay connected to him. Right? This is still important. But the point is him, attachment to him. Anything else come into your mind? Evidence of this being a value. Yeah. Sharing that. Wanting to help other people grow in that. Wanting to share how we're growing and what we're learning from God. One of our home groups, like a home group session every week, we ask, have you seen God at work in your life? For like 12 weeks. We just ask that every the start of every session. All right, let's move on to number 6. Church ministry should be culturally relevant to help reduce barriers to spiritual growth in believers and seekers. Culturally relevant. Why is this important? I'm just going to give you this from Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. You can read more of this, but this is Paul's philosophy of ministry. His rights mean nothing to him. Compared to leading people to Jesus, his preferences are inconsequential. Doesn't really matter. Read the rest of the paragraph to get more context, but essentially, when Paul is talking to Jewish people, he's not pushing them to give up their traditions. He wants them to know Jesus. Hold on to your traditions, whatever, that's fine. But is your faith in Jesus? And then when he's with Gentiles, he's not pushing them to get circumcised or to follow these holidays. It's not about that. They need to understand the grace. Forgiveness comes through Jesus. So when we talk about culturally relevant ministry, this could be more confusing to some people or maybe as less clear. We're talking about clearing the way as much as we can for people to come to Jesus without obstruction. Nothing in the way that doesn't need to be in the way. No unnecessary stumbling blocks to keep people from coming to Jesus. It's important. A great example in my mind is this guy from way back when, Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary, pioneer missionary to China, 1800s. He intentionally changed what he looked like when he got to China. He cut off his hair, grew this little ponytail in the back, changed how he dressed, changed what he ate. Missionaries at the time were not doing that. But no, this is important. If I want to connect with them, I need to relate to them. As long as he's not compromising his faith, he did whatever he needed to do. He earned the people's trust. He earned the chance to share Jesus, and thousands, tens of thousands of people converted to Christianity through his work and the ministry that he started. So what does this look like at Cornerstone? One way is we don't ask people to dress up for church. We don't insist you use an old translation of the Bible that you can't understand anymore. We don't sing songs because they're old or hold the traditions just because we've always done it that way. We don't expect people to come to us. We know we're supposed to go to them. We want to build friendships not just with people who believe like we do, but with those who are still far from God. Any barriers we can eliminate, we want to, so more people can come to Jesus. And this is important, guys, that the gospel message all by itself is already offensive. You understand that? How offensive the gospel message is? Have you thought about that recently? We don't need to add more layers of offense on top of that. If people are going to be offended, let them be offended by the gospel. Here's what the gospel says. You think about this from somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You're a sinner who deserves to spend eternity in hell because of your offenses against God. But Jesus, because he loves you, died on a cross, suffering the judgment you deserve in your place. And if you believe he's the Son of God, he died in your place, you can be forgiven and become a born-again child of God. Guys, that's a lot to swallow. That's humbling. And maybe you didn't notice, but people don't like to be humbled. The gospel is humbling. We're not going to change that. But we don't have to add to it. We don't need to make it harder. So around here, you come as you are. You don't need to impress us. You don't need to learn a bunch of unwritten rules to fit in with us. You come to Jesus. He'll work transformation in your life bit by bit, just like he's doing with the rest of us. How are we doing with this one? Culturally relevant ministry. What do you think? The messages we talk about hopefully relate to people who are not part of the club yet. Yeah. Anything else come to your mind? I know I'm making you think, guys. Sometimes I mention secular music, which I don't even listen to or know, really. You guys ask me, have you heard this song? Nope, 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 sorry. But occasionally, the one or two songs I know, I'll share. Paul's a lot better with that than I am. All right, guys, last one. The next generation is of utmost importance. The next generation. Why? Kids seem to matter to Jesus, right? If you read the Bible, you'll see that. Mark chapter 10. People were bringing their little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That means mad, guys. That's mad. Jesus was mad. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." He took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and bless them. This is Jesus. If Jesus made time for kids, probably want to follow his lead. And this conviction is a big part of why we've invested so much in Oasis Youth Center. This is important. The youth of our community have no anchor. They have no rudder. They desperately need Jesus. But you know what? Just telling them that doesn't really work. They need us to love them. We got to love them, and that's what Oasis is about. So I asked Paul Menino if he would join us today. Just take a few minutes to share what's going on at Oasis. And this is Paul's third year as director. Come on up, Paul. He's doing a fantastic job. It is not an easy job, but he's doing great. And so share with us, Paul, whatever you'd like to share about Oasis. Yes, you can use this guy. Yeah, yeah.
Hey. Seamless transition. The next generation matters. I'm like, wow, you set me up real well on that one. Thank you. I want to be cognizant of the time. I know you guys are trying to have your meeting, so I want to go kind of fast. First of all, I know a lot of you, but I don't know all of you, so it probably helps to at least say, hey, my name's Paul. Believe it or not, I came to faith. I didn't come from a faith background, but people cared about me when I was a teenager, and that's how I came to faith in Jesus. And so I've been working with youth for 27 years. I did the math this morning. I'm like, that's nuts. I wish that there was a thing like Oasis when I was in middle school. I was going through a lot of stuff that, quite frankly, if I had a place like Oasis, I think I really would have, I would have loved it. You know, I was asked 3 years ago to come in to I'm not going to say it's an easy job, but it's a simple job. Because I have 7 amazing volunteers that all attend Cornerstone and 6 that attend other churches that we just give of ourselves week in and week out. I came into that. So it's a simple thing for me to kind of come in and just be like, hey, you guys have been caring about the community for all this time. Let's keep doing that. But I think it's worth noting. I mean, you talk about Nate, Ann, Rick, Phyllis, Herr Hadley, now Amber Hadley, and in my opinion, the true MVP, Bob Markle, who is there every single day. And quite frankly, that's been easy for me to come into because Cornerstone gives so much of themselves. And it's not just that. I mean, you know, Joyce helps with our fundraiser. Sue helps with snacks. You know, even financial stuff. You know, Jake's been so helpful. So I mean, it truly takes all of Cornerstone, and I'm thankful for that. So when I look at the values, I'm like, I wanted to shout it out. I'm like, I'll let other people shout it out. I see Oasis. I see Oasis in People Matter. Yeah. I see serving others with a humble heart. Yeah. I see, you know, the cultural relevance part. I mean, yeah, I sometimes feel like I'm a professional tongue biter because I have to bite my tongue on so many things that are just like, ah! Like, I want to correct, I want to fix kids, and that's not necessarily what they need at the moment. And so because the next generation is of the utmost importance, I bite my tongue. I want to share a verse with you that really, to me, encapsulates what Oasis is all about. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "We were delighted not only to share the gospel of God with you, but our lives as well." Not just sharing the gospel. And some people are like, well, just sharing the gospel, that's everything. Well, okay, well, Paul didn't think so because he's not only sharing the gospel, but he's also sharing his life. And if you take what Nate just said about the gospel being offensive, I thought about it as I was sitting there, and this is what I really think the translation would be. We love you so much that we're not only going to offend you with the gospel, we're also going to offend you by daring to care about you for a couple of hours after school, 3 days a week. And for some kids, it takes almost that stance of like, do you really care about me? We get that gruffness from the beginning because, again, they've been let down by a lot of the adults in their lives. And so then they come to Oasis, they come hardened, and they come tough, and they come, you know, with potty mouths and, you know, just not really knowing how to have authentic community. And then they come here, and it's almost like you start watching the more and more, you know, no, I really do care. No, we really do want to just play with you. Wow, Bob really does jump high when he gets those rebounds. Like all these different, they, you know, Herr Hadley will sit down and play a card game and get into it with the kids. Like those things matter. And I'm not going to name names because there's a couple of attendees here, but you know, we've got a young lady that comes to Oasis, and I think one of the most amazing parts of the last year is just even just kind of seeing her spiritual journey. I'll call her Mary, she last year told us, you know, I wish I could come to Oasis more than one day a week, but my dad only lets me come once. But I just want you to know, it's like my family away from home. I love this place. And I'm just like looking at her, I'm like, I didn't know it mattered that much to you. I just thought you only casually liked it. That's why you only came once a week, you know? And then this year, we really want to hit that thing about intimacy with God as the power source for personal transformation. We really want these kids to know that for us, Jesus is everything. It's the source of why we love the way we love. If they see us loving them, we want them to know that the reason we love them is because of Jesus. And so one of the things that we've been doing this year is we've been watching The Chosen. I don't know if you've seen, it's the Jesus television series. We actually watch it up here on the screen. It's kind of cool, a bunch of sweaty middle schoolers. Or, sorry guys, some of your chairs were probably, we can, Fabrice. But we sit here and we watch a couple minutes, and then we have these like really amazing conversations, deep, deep conversations. Kids are perceptive. But this one girl, Mary, she's coming. And it's just amazing because she's telling us, you know, I'm praying every night. My dad makes fun of me because I pray every night. My little siblings are now praying every night because of me. And she's been going along on this journey and watching and experiencing it and thinking about it. And I think, man, we're making a place for her. But we're also making a place for when a kid gets into a fight, still saying, okay, I know you did that, but like we still love you and we want to walk through that with you. That's what Oasis is. Now, you're already helping in so many ways that it might be easy as a church to be like, well, I mean, the people who are doing it got to cover it. No. We averaged more than 38 kids this month. That's a crazy amount. We have 6 adults on Tuesday, 6 adults on Wednesday, 6 adults on Thursday. Quite frankly, the need is great, especially on Wednesday. While we're trying to show The Chosen, we want to have more volunteers. And so that might be something you're interested in. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Obviously, you can talk through Nate or any of the volunteers I mentioned, and we can have a conversation. We need volunteers who just want to come maybe towards the closing of it, like say 4:45, and just help with kind of cleaning things up. If you don't consider yourself to be like a people person, but you still are looking for a way to help, my goodness, there's a way for the church to have quiet people who do just servant things. And so I don't know what else to say besides that, but continue to be praying. What we do matters. The first couple years I took this job, and I've been doing this my whole life, but there was a part of me that I kind of felt like, how are we going to get deep with these kids within the context that we have? And I don't know what to say except for just over the last couple years, I've just made up my mind to try and just go a little bit deeper, ask the extra question. And it's just been remarkable because the more we know these kids, the more we see what they're dealing with. And the more we see what they're dealing with, the more it breaks my heart, but it also just makes me want to keep doing this. And so I just want to encourage you. Thank you as a church, because I know, for example, that your tithes and offerings go towards, you know, a lot of the things that make Oasis happen. You might not even know that. You are making Oasis happen. And so I'm not good at ending things. But I do want to say that I hope that we continue to not only share the gospel of God with the kids in our community, but also our lives as well. So thank you again.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah, Paul said we've averaged like 38 students on an this month. Paul, do you remember how many students we've had come through Oasis this year so far? Around 100 students have come to Oasis. And tell you what, Paul is really good at not just connecting with the kids, but their families. He is connecting with parents, moms, dads. There's just so much work, and he's doing a fantastic job, but like he said, it takes a lot of people to make it happen, but it's worth it. All right, so review, quick. Biblical truth, these are 7. Biblical truth, authentic community, people matter, serving others, intimacy with God, relevant church ministry, the next generation. So I want you to think, these are values because they help us to be more effective in leading people to Jesus and fully following him together, right? That's what we're about. So we looked at the church, and you guys gave feedback. I want to end right now just with this next steps time for 2 things. Number one, are these my values? Can I see evidence? The same thing we did here, do it for yourself. Can I see evidence of each of these things in my personal life? And then just ask God, are you wanting me to embrace any of these values more strongly than I am? Are any of these, yeah, God, I need to, We have other values too. You have other values too that are not up on the screen. Sometimes they compete with each other. Sometimes they complement each other. It's okay to have more other values, but are these your values too? Because if we want to avoid institutional drift, we can't just say this is important and maybe do it as a whole. Each member of the organization needs to embrace these values too, or we will drift away. So think through the values. Take a minute. Just look at, okay, are these my values too? And then we're going to wrap up. I want to pray for Oasis. Can you join me? God, I thank you for this church and what you've done here, all these things we've talked about today. And over the years, you've been at work in a lot of different ways as different people are working, as functioning as part of your body. Lord, I pray for Oasis. I thank you for Paul, his leadership, his example, his love for people who are far from you especially. And God, I pray for the ministry of Oasis, that it will love and serve students well, and their families, and that will show them that Jesus cares about them. We care about them because you care about them. People matter to you, and therefore they matter to us. I pray that that would come across loud and clear in this community. And help us to love them well. Help us to know how to do it, because sometimes we get in situations, we're scratching our head, and sometimes we see brokenness that's just such a deep level, it's just hard to fathom what young kids have to go through or what they're facing. So God, help us to come alongside them with genuine love and compassion, and to know how we can communicate that it's a relationship with Jesus that makes the difference. So Lord, bless the ministry, and I thank you for how you've blessed this church, how you've blessed me through the people who are here, through the people who are with us live stream. Not everybody's here in person today, but God, this is a body of people. So I thank you for the people that you've put together here, and I pray that you'll guide us and that we won't drift away. We'll drift continually more and more towards you, that these values will become even stronger in how we function and how we think and how we love. God, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, because it's your Spirit's work in us that does this. Thank you for being our strength and our source of life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Shannon, come on up.
Great. Well, that was a good review of our priorities and our foundation. So we have 5 minutes, 3 minutes. At 10 o'clock, we're going to start the meeting right here. So if you want to run to the bathroom or anything, go ahead and do that now. And then we'll have our meeting from 10 to 10:30 and be done so the G2G can come in. The kids are going to stay downstairs and they'll child care, so you don't have to worry about that if you're a parent. One quick reminder, next week is time change, so don't forget to put your clock back or you will be an hour early to church, which it wouldn't be a bad thing, I guess, better than late, but just a reminder on that. All right, thanks.